today, I want us to look at another phase of God. We looked at the love of God a couple Sundays ago, and then went way over on the other end of the scale last week to talk about the fear of God. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. God's going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That seems like a long ways from the love of God, where just He just tells us He loves us all the time. But at the same time, I'm thinking for today about God's mercy. The mercy that He extends along with that judgment. You remember where it talks about, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then it has one more little verse that sometimes I don't look at. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we're going to reap if we faint not. Some of these places where God tells us, warns us, you're going to be judged by the things you do. And yet, at the same time, His love for us helps us to know, you know what, let me just keep on doing right. He will bless it. Remember that? Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, I know it's going to be well for those that fear the Lord. So I want to be able to have that. But I'm looking at mercy today. It says that one of the definitions for it, and there's more than one. I'd like to look at a different one maybe this afternoon. But this one says it's the tenderness of heart that causes an offender to be treated better than justice would allow. And it said in the dictionary, in this sense, there is no word in our language that's exactly synonymous with mercy. It implies tenderness, pity, and compassion, but it's exercised only toward offenders. Mercy is a distinguishing attribute of God. And we heard in our Sunday school class this morning about Samuel. Children of Israel, if you could chart them on a chart of walking with God, there would be times when they're walking with God, there would be times where they turn and start worshiping idols. Then here comes trouble, and they're in trouble, and they're praying to God again. Well, this is one of those times where the children of Israel, they're turning their heart back to God. They have been having so much trouble, and the Philistines are coming for another battle, and they're asking Samuel, pray for us. We've repented. Pray for us and help us. And I look at the mercy of God. So easily He could have said, look, I don't want to hear it again. You have served me. You have gone back into idols how many times, and now you're trying to come back and get help from me. But it's not. That's where mercy comes in. And then that mercy not being just from God Himself, but for it to be planted a seed of that in my heart, that I would be able to show mercy to those who happen to offend me. A few months maybe now ago, when a man named Charlie Kirk, I believe is his name, was killed. And I did not realize how popular his name was or what his agenda was until that happened. He would go into campuses and talk to them about God, answering questions with them and just discussing it. And after he was killed at the funeral, I saw this little news article. Said at the funeral, here's how they said it. His wife stunned the world with 3 words at the funeral. Those 3 words were, I forgive you. Saying that to the killer, I forgive you. And then the media had a question for her, a news reporter, said, what punishment should this killer be given? And here's what she said. Her reply was, that's up to the court system. Said, my part is I have to forgive, because that's the example that Jesus gave me. You know, it says in that definition, there's no other word synonymous. But I wonder if it's not a real close relative to mercy is called forgiveness. Me showing mercy to a person that has done me wrong by forgiving them, by turning it loose and letting it go. And I was thinking of our example. When Jesus was on the cross, you know, there's a lot of people had done Him wrong. And what was His call, His prayer to His Father? Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. There's a verse over in Mark, the 11th chapter. I'd like to look at that, because in these where we see what God's able to do, what Jesus was able to do, but then it comes on down for us to be able to do it, because I really think that forgiving is mercy shown too. In Mark, the 11th chapter, and in the 25th verse, when you stand praying, forgive. In other words, when you stand praying, extend mercy to that person that has done you wrong and forgive them. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. And then it goes on a little more, and I'd like to keep these two words close together, forgiving and showing mercy. But it says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Neither will he have mercy on me, and I sure need his mercy extended to me. But I thought of another place that mercy is needed. In Proverbs, the 28th chapter, when mercy is shown, Proverbs 28 and 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Thought about David when Nathan came to him and talked to him about what he had done wrong. And David could have easily said, Nathan, you're about to lose your life. Nobody else knows about this, and I intend to keep it hidden. But instead, he repented. And just like this verse says, whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And I see that mercy extended over in Psalms. I'm glad that we can see his prayer in Psalms 51, because he starts it out realizing what he needs from the Lord. Psalms 51 and in the first verse. This is David praying. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And then I thought about Stephen when he was being stoned. What's in his mind that goes back to his thought about the people that are stoning him? You remember, what did he say to the Lord? Lay not this sin to their charge. Mercy being extended, his forgiveness for what they were doing, and mercy being extended. So I'm thinking about, for us, I want to be able to see the mercy that God has for us. And there's a verse over in Psalms. There are several places in Psalms that have it, but Psalms 86 and 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God. And you know what? We need to be able to just, if we had a memory verse that we'd store away, I want this to be one of them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and in truth. And it almost says the same thing over in Psalms 145 and 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all of his works. Where do we see this verse again in the Bible? Jonah repeated it. You know, Jonah, after he had gone into the belly of the fish, he was crying out for mercy, asking God to look down on him in mercy. And then the Lord does that, shows mercy to him, and he goes on and does what the Lord told him to do, give a message to Nineveh, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. And God showed mercy to those people and turned what he intended to do to them, turned it around. And you would think that Jonah would say, God, I thank you so much. And this is a lesson for me today. how much I have been forgiven of, how much mercy has been shown to me in my life, and that my prayer to God for others, the things that are happening in our world today, that I would rather not be happening, and I feel like, you know, a judgment needs to come down on this, that I would have more of the attitude that Stephen had, that Jesus had. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, show mercy to them. Because Jonah, in the fourth chapter of Jonah, and in the first verse, it even comes to the point where it says that Jonah was angry with what God had done. And he almost repeats these verses again that we've just read. Lord, I knew, whenever I came here, I knew that you were gracious. I knew that you were full of compassion and slow to anger. I knew you had great mercy on people. That's why I didn't want to come down here, because you were going to probably have mercy on them. You know, he wasn't feeling that way when he was inside the fish about mercy. He wasn't saying, Lord, I tell you what, don't be wasting any more mercy on me. No, he was crying out for mercy. And so I look at these things, and there's lessons in this for me, and I want to be able to profit from those. And here's one of those lessons. In Matthew, in the 18th chapter, Matthew 18 and 21, here's a question for us. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and forgive him? Till seven times. How much mercy do I need to show to someone who has offended me? Jesus saith to him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And I think what that is trying to tell me to do is just continually be showing mercy to those, forgiving those who have done me wrong. And then it gives us this lesson, starting in the 23rd verse. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And we look at this story. There was a man that was found that owed so much, there was no way he was going to be able to pay it. And so what they said to him, the king said, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to sell you, your family, and I'm going to make what payment can be made from that. The man fell down before him and said, please, if you'll just give me some time, I'll pay it back. And then it says about this man, 27th verse, the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. It seemed like compassion goes along with mercy. Was moved with compassion. He loosed him and forgave the debt. He didn't just say, okay, I'm going to put it on a 30-year note because it's so much. Instead, he just forgave the whole thing. And I've tried to picture this in my mind. I have to keep things simple for me. I just kind of think of this man when he left the king's palace and he's going home to tell his family, y'all not going to believe what happened to me today. I was almost to go to prison and y'all would be sold. And instead, he forgave it all. He cleared the debt. I owe nothing. Oh, I am so happy. And as he's walking along, he looks and there's another man that owed him a little bit of money. And you would think he would say, oh, don't worry about it. I have been released from such a debt. You just go ahead and have yourself a good day, because I am too. But there was something in his mind that he couldn't turn it loose. And what does this say? Here it is in the 28th verse. And this verse kind of makes me, it's like they emphasize something. This same servant, the one that just had been forgiven such great debt, this same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, owed him 100 pence. He laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And we know in this one, as it follows on out, the other servants went and told the king what had happened. And the king called him back in, and he said in 32nd verse, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant as I had with thee? And then look at this last verse, 35th verse. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. And I'm looking at this, and what it tells me is how much mercy and forgiveness link up together. Because we can have thoughts go through our mind of how things ought to be, how things ought to happen. Look over in Luke 9. These men had been walking with Christ. Luke 9 and 54. You remember when Jesus came into a village and they didn't receive him? And 54th verse, James and John saw this and they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did?" He turned and rebuked them and said, "You know not what manner of spirit you're of, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." You see the mercy that is extended from him to them. Don't let that load you down. Just come on, let's just move on to the next one. We can have people do us wrong. We can see injustices in the world around us, and we can get all caught up in that. And I just want us to be able to back off a little bit and take a look at the mercy that God showed to me, and that I would also be able to extend that mercy to others, because here comes a call to us in Luke 6 and 36. 6 and 36, just a small verse. "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." And we just see throughout the Bible times when even the children of Israel, when they walked with the Lord and they went away, and the Lord extended mercy to them and accepted them back, helped them out again. But I was thinking of a place where he showed mercy. King Ahab had a title that says, "There was none like Ahab." He sold himself to work wickedness. And he goes along to the point that he wants to buy this vineyard, and Naboth does not want to sell it. We know the story. Jezebel had Naboth killed, and then she says, "Ahab, go on over there. That's your place now." Ahab walked over there, and when he did, the prophet of the Lord met him there and told him, "Here's what you've done. It's not hidden. Here's what you've done. You've taken somebody's life here, and there's going to be trouble come to you for that." But what, you know, as the title that Ahab had, there had not been a king as wicked as him before him or after him. And I look at that with that kind of a title. Something happened when Ahab heard that news. It said he humbled himself. He fasted. He asked the Lord for mercy. This is in 1 Kings 21st chapter, 27th verse. He rends his clothes. He is really sorry. Kind of like David had been. Before David met Nathan, he was not even thinking about it. And now Nathan, when he talked to David, David humbled his heart. Ahab did the same thing. He humbled himself. There is a verse that says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." We talked last week about God being all-seeing, all-knowing. Have you ever maybe stayed at an Airbnb that has a little sign on the door and says, "We have cameras throughout the house"? You want to stay in a house like that? This house, you know, they're trying to protect their investment. But somehow you just don't feel the same if you think you've got the privacy of your home and you just don't know where the other camera is. Is that how we look at God? He's in every room. He's monitoring me. He's watching me when I made this stop over here. He sees me over here. You know, that's not what he wants it to be. That one was saying the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. He wants to be on the behalf of those that fear him. He wants us to be able to not be afraid that his eyes are watching us. That verse is 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. That verse was given to King Asa. Asa had been a good king. There had been times where God had delivered Asa from big armies because Asa trusted in him. In this one, the king of Israel was coming up against him. And Asa goes out and takes the gold out of the temple, and he hires somebody, "I need some help to be able to fight him." This is when the prophet came along and told him, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. He's looking for those that fear him." And he said, "Asa, you have done foolishly here." So I look at these things, and I realize, you know what? It's not intended for us to be afraid that God's watching everything I'm doing. In Psalms, the 90th chapter, and the first verse, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and world, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. You know what? I want to be very thankful. God's been from everlasting to everlasting, and His mercy today is extended to me. There's a verse over in Psalms 103 and 10. Says, He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. What if I was judged just by the wrong things I have done with no mercy extended? Instead, mercy has been extended to me throughout my life. Psalms 136, because I find there's so many places that are trying to remind me of His mercy. If you've looked at Psalms 136, it has 26 verses. And every verse in that chapter ends with, His mercy endureth forever. It starts with, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. You know, I need to, in my prayer time of going back to the Lord, I need to even use this verse. Lord, I want to give thanks to You. You're good. Lord, I want to thank You that Your mercy endures forever. Telling me that no matter how wicked the world may become, mercy will still be available to those. What's the verse? He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh, there be mercy for him. And I'm thankful for that. So for 26 verses in that chapter, it just keeps reinforcing it. For His mercy endureth forever. And I want to look at another place in Lamentations. Lamentations in the third chapter, where it talks about, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It does not fail. I'm thankful for that. 3:21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. You know, I need to just keep that over my mind. I'm walking with the Lord. I'm pleasing Him. But you know what? It's of His mercies that whenever I need, He wants to check me on something that I need to make an adjustment for. There's mercy available to me. It's of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. His compassions fail not. Look at this. They're new every morning. Every morning when I wake up in the morning, there is another supply of mercy. And that doesn't mean, okay, go out and do whatever you want to do. Just sin today, sin tomorrow. There'll be mercy available for that. I need to always remember the verse, He that confesseth and forsaketh, that's where mercy will be found. And I'm thankful. Brother Harlan Sorrell sang a song before, Justice Called and Mercy Answered. What does that mean? Here's the law. I believe that happened with the woman that was caught in adultery. Justice called, what did they say? By Moses says she should be stoned. Jesus, what do You say about it? Mercy answered. What did Jesus say to him? He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And he starts writing something in the dust. Whatever he wrote or whatever he said to them, something caused them to realize we're not in a good place to be staying around here, because he must be knowing what our thoughts are, and they all left. What did he say to her? Justice called that she should be stoned, and mercy answered, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I'm thankful that in 2026, the power of the Lord is still available. His mercy is still available to us all. He is not willing that any should perish, but that we could all be able to come to repentance. It says the day of the Lord will come. The end of all things is going to happen one day. But you know what? Until that day, there is mercy that's extended. Mercy that is available to us. There's another place in Psalms 33:18. It talks about hoping. 33:18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. I am thankful that we can hope in the mercy of the Lord. It's available for me today. It will be available tomorrow. And I want to be able to have that same attribute in my life. Next time somebody wrongs you, think about the mercy that God has extended to us. And really, I believe those two words just run pretty close together, forgiveness and mercy. I'm extending mercy to someone who has done me wrong. You know, whether they asked for it or whether they don't, mercy is extended to them. Mercy is extended to us. I want to close with a verse of a song. It's in 454. It says in the second verse, I have done what thou hast taught me. From the world I've turned aside. Let me be a holy temple where thy presence may abide. Look at this. I am hoping in thy mercy. Hope is a wonderful thing. It's being able to know, you know what? There's good available for me. I am hoping in thy mercy, not in that which I can do. And I know thou failest never. To my soul thou wilt be true. Thou hast said thou wilt receive me, nor my earnest plea deny. Now I know I am accepted. Why is that? Because His mercy is extended. His mercy endureth forever. 2026, or for however many more years the world goes, He's got mercy available. And I want to seek Him in my own life, that I would be able to extend that mercy to others around me. I desire your prayers.